American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Monday, July the 26th, 2010. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get there by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rand Radio Talk, Red Mercury, SESRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, and every Thursday night in Second Life, that virtual realm that you can access in Node Archer's Grid 155-74666. Every Thursday, 7 p.m., go to that grid, and you will see the show kind of virtually live. Sort of. It's bizarre how you're able to do it, but you can tune in, and you're there when we record the show, which you've now downloaded, which, why would you do that? But, you know, there are people who dig that sort of thing, and the people who dig that sort of thing are Morp, Selene, A-Square, Agent Dak, Anastasia, Oi, Flash DUI, Fuchi, Coma, J.C. Denton, sounds like a department store, Lock Long, Legion, Max the Token Cat, Mindy, Plump Dragon, Rash Marok, Smurf, Sophia, and Tack Craft, who's done some very nice decorating in here lately. So let us not forget, as well, most hallowed is his name, are my right-hand vegan, Sumerian.
Right-hand or left-hand?
Well, you'd probably be the left-hand path. If anything, you are a left-hand path kind of guy. You know, that you can Google that later. But yeah, it's I would think you're very definitely the left-hand path, for sure.
I am left-handed, so.
Oh, well, even more indications you follow the left-hand path. Ha-ha! I've always suspected. But he's Googling like mad right now. I can sense his Googling, the mighty Googling of Sumerian. So how is life, Sim? How's your world?
Good. Very good. Fire Party radio show. So reference today's show as the show to listen to and to give out if people want to listen to Fire Party radio.
Oh, really? So that's okay. Yeah. Then we should definitely tell people that too. So this was a really, really good show. This is the show that the distribution show, and which
I'll put a star beside this one in the list if people want to start here. That's the one you.
What episode number is it?
I think 34. I think it is.
Better be sure.
Better be sure before I give out the wrong data. Don't give out bad data. 34. Yes.
So that's good because 3-4. Right? Because it's easy to remember.
Sure.
1, 2, 3, 4. Right? 3, 4. 34. That's
right. Yeah.
That's 3, the 4. Show. 3, 4.
Yeah.
Nope. Call now.
Posting it after this.
3, 4.
Call now.
Well, that's the annoying thing ever. It's three times, right? They always hit you with three times for everything. Call now. 1, blah, 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 blah. And you know for a fact they're going to hit you with that like two more times, and you're waiting for the blah, 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 blah. And it's and we've become so accustomed to the advertising now. Did you see that? I put that thing up on the Twitter account this week talking about the ads on our license plates now. They're talking about putting ads on license plates.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait for the dystopian future of advertising on our eyeballs being broadcast with lasers from tall towers.
Yeah, no, that'll be really, really sexy. I remember a time when I was like, oh, Sim, come on, man, it's just a little advertising. Little advertising never hurt anybody.
Just a little.
You know, and I mean, it was used to be like hard to get out of hand stories, like when
it's feature creep. That's the problem. It's the feature creep. It's the oversaturation. It's not as bad as Tokyo yet here in Vancouver, but in some cities it gets bad. Like go to Tokyo or New York. We've been to New York, and that was crazy. You just stood there and you're mesmerized. You're having a eyeball seizure standing in the middle of Times Square.
And the seizures are going to get better. Let's not forget that, because as technology progresses, you know, they're going to be able to come up with bigger and better seizures. And we've got news stories related to that tonight. But before we get to our news story, Sim, we have some feedback. Some good feedback.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So I wasn't going to read the one. I got a piece of fan mail which said that I make more mistakes than a six-year-old in the show when I'm reading it. Which was great. It was kind of, you know, I imagine he has a very gifted child. But I would say...
Thing is, you acknowledge your mistakes, and you say, I made a mistake last week. And that's the difference between you and other media.
Well, the funny thing is, the great thing is like, there's a point when you're having a bad day, when the bad day becomes comical, right? And if you're lucky... If you're lucky, you hit that point early in the day. So you can spend the rest of your day, like for the first little part, you're like, you get up in the morning and your car is on fire and you're like, holy crap. So you call your buddy and you find out that your like girlfriend is actually at your buddy's house sleeping with him and you're like, what the hell? So you like call your mom and your mom will always show up, but she's like the super pain in the ass. So she's like nattering on and you're like driving around and you're hitting every red light ever, you know, and things are just going worse. And worse and worse and worse. And eventually there's a point where you're like, my God, this is ridiculous. Like, and then, you know, an asteroid hits the right side of the country and you're like, oh yeah, I saw that coming. Yeah, okay. You know, for sure.
And then
you know.
And then you start to accept it and then you can laugh and you go,
yeah,
well,
and
what's
you're just
next?
Like, whatever.
And you just it's like a bad TV show. It's just this poor character that never gets a break, and you're just playing the part.
Oh yeah, no, and it's good too because I get lots of love mail, right? So, and today was just one of those days where I just phoned in the whole thing, man. Could not roll a 20 to save my life. Okay, it was just critical failures all night. Don't go near the dice at all. Okay, like honest to God, you'd lose the 30th level. I would screw up any character. You could put me NPC in Conan right now. He would be the biggest bumbling fool because my dice would kill me. But in all honesty.
Sword.
Oh, yeah. So I figure, you know, I'll go in, do the show. Show always makes me feel better, right? All these lovely people here making me feel loved, right? Dumping love on me, right? I need some love right now. The first email
That's
I
right.
open, dear Sean, you make more mistakes than a six-year-old. You suck. And I'm like, oh, and then I started laughing because I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
There's always the delete key.
Yeah, well, no. I think it's funny because I don't get stuff like that. And it made me laugh because it was, it's not wrong. I mean, I've had shows where I've just been completely, you know, not into it. You do the best you can. And sometimes, you know, you don't do the best job in the world. Sometimes you phone that in. So it's you know, fair.
Hard Party Radio Show, I don't do it live, right? This show, you and I do it live.
Right.
And we can't really fakes too easily, or we don't, and we just keep going. But in the Pirate Party Radio Show, I don't do it live, so I'm able to kind of fix my mistakes afterwards. I just
you don't airbrush your show, do you? Do you airbrush your
I
show?
I do.
You airbrush, conceited, vain bastard. Really? Oh, I can't believe that. I do very little airbrushing.
Fakes anymore.
Show. Oh,
I'm getting better. I don't really do the mistakes anymore. That used to be the beginning. Now my throat just gets sore. And I just take a sip of water and just delete the blank part. But one time, I took a really short break, and then when I went back to edit it, mm-hmm. I missed editing it, mm-hmm. and it was like me clearing my throat and taking a 2-second pause. And somebody wrote in, and I totally missed it. I was so embarrassed. I re-uploaded the show and erased all copies of it. So.
It never happened. Only this confession will be live here on whatever show number this
That's
is.
That's right. It's a rare collector's item, the unedited version.
My God, man, if I was to be that much of a perfectionist, I think I'd lose half of my media, you know, right there, like right off the top. It wouldn't make it off the cutting room.
That directory's gone.
Yeah, oh, there goes that one. Let's just eliminate everything prior to 2010. Flush! And somewhere Sam clutches
crap.
His chest and, like, collapses to the floor. I feel a mighty disturbance in the force. Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true. Well, you know, that's why I really, the only time I really got Bill O'Reilly when he was like, fuck it, we'll do it live. I'm like, I didn't actually know it was him. And a buddy showed me a Velcro morale patch that said, fuck it, we'll do it live. And I was like, oh, wow, that's like tailor made for me and Sim. Like, that's totally my attitude.
So
then I
good.
Found out it was Bill O'Reilly, who's like, you know, a screaming idiot. So I'm like, oh, wait, I'm a screaming idiot,
good.
And so is he, but I'm a different kind of screaming idiot. Oh, no. Get to the chopper. So it was really bad. So anyway, yeah, that's, I think you just have more pride, which kind of goes without saying. Clearly, I have no pride. You know.
Is that it?
Well, I think so. I think so. You still, you know, it's like you're the newlywed bride who still, you know, puts on makeup, and I'm like the big fat old chick who farts. You know, that's pretty much how it works right there. That's what's going on.
This underwear still bends.
Yeah, you know, whatever. It's 2 or 3 days fresh, you know. It's like you're camping every day. Dear Sean with an S and Sim with a C, got some feedback here.
Not that I don't enjoy
projecting myself as older aged overweight women. While normally your characterization of U.S. politics is sadly often more astute than that of the talking heads over here in the United States, you'll understand that the so-called Constitution supporters is slightly flawed. This year's hot new abortive third party is the Tea Party, who paradoxically believe in a powerful but limited government. They wrap themselves in Revolutionary War costumes and wax emotional about the Founding Fathers and the incorrectly suppose were Christians, and that they have turned the no taxation without representation rally cry of the likes of George Washington and John Adams and Benjamin Franklin into no taxation, and the Idaho Tea Party's agitating for the repeal of the 17th Amendment. You know, and clearly I'm making less mistakes than a six-year-old. I'm just saying. Which provides for the direct popular election of state senators. So, in fact, they're both taxation against both taxation and representation. Furthermore, corporate-owned special. I think I've cursed myself now.
You
furthermore, corporate-owned special interest groups like the Freedom Works and Americas for Prosperity have shown, by even corporate media mouthpieces like MSNBC's Evening Lineup, to have substantial financial and operational connections to these groups. As for guns, though President Obama has done more to cater to gun rights groups than both centrist and fringe than any Democratic president in the last 30 years, by allowing the federal assault weapons ban to expire and by signing off on legislation that allowed guns in national parks, which isn't nearly such a stupid idea when you consider national parks are where increasing amounts of the nation's pot is grown. Also, that's where the animals are. So assuming you're not actually using your guns to shoot at people, which is kind of funny that Americans would be like, why would I need a gun in a park? I'm not going to get robbed. There's bears.
That's not your turn, yeah.
They're the guys we give the sandwiches to, right? No, you don't give the sandwiches to the bears, no. But that's really hilarious that you were not allowed to have the gun in the national park because you might shoot the wildlife. Whereas in the rest of like school zones, not a problem, you know, open hammer
bars,
carry.
No problem, yeah.
So, and he goes on talking about, you know, hang on, let me finish this off here. I lost my place when I was talking about that. It's scrolling really slowly. The problem with Obama is that he hasn't even touched the issue of the Patriot Act, which effectively bridges the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 8th Amendments in the Bill of Rights. Okay. Yeah, not so good. Gun paranoia and clowns in tri-corner hats are the most insidious red herring of our time. Love both your guys' shows, and here's to hoping Patrolling Season 3 comes before the U.S. federal government shuts off internet access to non-approved extranational media. And this was sent in by Plasteel Alloy, and he actually put those little stutters and remistakes in there. That's in the letter. That was read verbatim.
Yeah,
it was perfect.
It's kind of weird how it's written, but Sean did it perfectly.
Yeah, that's how it is. And no, you can't see it. And I know Plasteel will back me up. Peace. All right, so that's pretty much where it's at. You know, with the United States government, everybody's like, wah wah. Oh no, Obama's kind of a politician. You know what I mean? Like. For some reason,
he's not the savior of all.
Well, you know, he's still a politician. He's still a politician. For some reason, though,
a good speaking one.
Yeah, I don't think he's evil. I know, maybe I just haven't made my saving throw yet. I still just don't think he's evil. You know, like I don't think he is. I think that he's probably working for evil people. There's probably a ton of... He's like Blade, right? The dude in the middle of all the vampires. Yeah. He's part vampire himself, but he's trying to do the right thing. You know, Obama is still kind of the daywalker, as far as I'm concerned. And you can't really dance with those kind of monsters without kind of being a bit of a monster yourself. You know, but I think he only, you know, drinks the blood of innocent
for the good.
Deal
with them every day and appease them a little bit.
Well, you know, you got to do what you got to do. I haven't totally, you know, phoned it in yet. I'm sure that after this show, I will get a deluge of email from people saying, oh my God, he's the Antichrist. I know Alex Jones hates his guts. hates his guts.
Doesn't he hate anybody that's in the presidential seat?
Well, that now you're making suppositions. Okay, now you're, but yes, so far he's hated everybody in the presidential seat. He may. It'd be weird if he really loved the president. Could you imagine? Like if Alex Jones was suddenly all for the
weird.
President, it'd be like what if we did that? Hey, Alex, what should we do? What? Yeah, you're in charge, Alex. Who's going to be president? You know, take your pick, man. Who is it? Come on,
we
set
must
it up.
Find the.
You know, is it Ron Paul? Because does he think Ron Paul's okay? Does Alex Jones think Ron Paul's okay? I think he does.
I don't know.
I think he calls him Dr. Paul and stuff like that. So I think he's one of the Ron Paul guys.
Okay. Some yeah. Respect for him.
Well, but the thing is, Ron Paul, Alex Jones is also, you know, he believes in the Invisible Sky Wizard, right? He's one of those guys.
Yeah.
So you gotta temper everything. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm not totally unconvinced of Invisible Sky Wizards myself. But, you know.
You can believe. Don't do what he wrote down in the book, people.
Will, I got
if
no
I
evidence that
Sunday,
the Sky Wizard
don't
wrote
throw
that.
Stones at me.
You know, it's kind of like, I kind of look at the Bible the same way I look at all these other occult teachings. Okay? Like, you know, you'll get these books and they'll say, if you do this, you will gain infinite power. Okay, well, you know, how many copies of this book were made? So there should be a couple of dudes floating around with infinite power, right? Like,
they could have figured out what was written down in the book. Yeah. They should have been able to figure out.
Yeah, they should have been. So if it works,
at some point, yeah.
if it works, you know, there should be, oh yeah, that's how those guys got ultimate power. They got, you know, one of these 18 copies of this book. But those dudes don't exist. So that's one of the big reasons why.
No.
I'm not really super confident with like sorcery and stuff like that because I've never heard reports of ancient sorcerers because they'd still be alive.
The furthest you ever hear is people like connecting with nature. As far as they get, I felt something at the summer solstice. I felt it. I touched the ground and it reverberated through me. And that's as far as they get. There's no invisibility. There's no levitating. There's no fireballs.
Well,
none of that cool
now
stuff.
Hold it. There are reports. They just don't have the data that you want to see. Which the data you want to see is
some video, please.
Yeah. Well,
some video.
That's all you want is
video.
Is that all you want is video? Seen video. Of UFOs and you're not really too sure on that one, so you can't claim that video is enough evidence for you. You can't, because you'll be like, that's
video.
That's food. I want multiple
video from a bad shaky angle, like a guy who can reproduce it live on television in front of a studio audience and, you know, do it anytime that, you know, we ask him, not when he feels like it.
Well,
or when the condition's right and the moon is in the right phase.
Well, dude, I think that that's a bit stringent. I do. You know, I'm not even certain that you can, you know, consistently get erections in conditions like that. And, you know, they're a hell of a lot more realistic than, you know, say, ghosts. So it's, I mean, you know, to
reproduce. It has to go under scientific scrutiny. Otherwise, it's, you know.
Yeah.
It's just.
I don't know about you. I'm just saying there's stuff that cannot occur under scientific scrutiny. That's all my whole point with this. You know, anyway. In brain cancer scan news. Now, speaking of scientific scrutiny, you want some scientific scrutiny? This is some seriously ass scientific scrutiny, which kind of goes together with my pharma fascist scrutiny that I got coming up here. But in brain scan news, thank you very much, Goofy. Brain scans may be able to predict. Now, granted, I believe this is from Fox, so you'll have to excuse me. But brain scans may be able to predict what you will do better than you can yourself. Okay, now, that sentence alone is enough to make me go screaming into the night. But anyway, and might offer a powerful tool for advertisers or health officials. Notice how advertisers is first, not health officials. Okay, hang on. You know what? It's not that I stumble over the words. It's just that I lose my shit before I finish the sentence. Okay, so let's just see if I can make it through this thing before, you know. So anyway. Brain scans may be able to predict what you will do better than you can yourself and might offer a powerful tool for advertisers or health officials seeking to motivate consumers, researchers said on Tuesday. Found a way to interpret real-time brain images to show whether people who viewed messages about using sunscreen would actually use sunscreen during the following week. The scans were more accurate than the volunteers were. Emily Falk and colleagues at the University of California, Los Angeles reported in the Journal of Neuroscience, "We are trying to figure out whether there is a hidden wisdom that the brain contains," Falk said in a telephone interview. Many people decide to do things, but don't do them. Matthew Lieberman, a professor of psychology who led the study, added the statement, but with functional magnetic resonance imaging, Falk and colleagues were able to go beyond good intentions and predict actual behavior. Wow. This couldn't be abused at all in the form of, like, law enforcement and, you know, like, this is pre-crime. This is, like, totally pre-crime brain scan
he
bullshit.
He was going to kill him. He thought about killing him, and that's more predictive than even him knowing.
Mr. Kennedy, we know that you're going to kill your wife. No, I'm really not. No. No, we got this this chart here, you know, that says, but I love my wife. Yes.
He's going off the scale. It's way into the red.
You're far too passionate about your wife. It's going to be a crime of passion. You're going to kill her. That's what's going to happen. We've seen this before. It's like it's at least a 60% chance, you know.
60.
Intervention, you know, armed intervention. fMRI uses a magnetic field to measure blood flow in the brain. It can show which brain regions are more active compared to others, but requires careful interpretation. Yeah. Yeah, pretty fucking careful. Thank you very much. Yeah, can I have like 30 teams going over this? Falk's team recruited 20 young men and women for their experiment. For their twisted 20, experiment. Huh? While in the fMRI scanner, they read and listened to messages about the safe use of sunscreen, which is kind of funny to do in an fMRI scanner. You like sunscreen. Yes. I'd be like, this is a Manchurian candidate thing. I'm totally not doing this. You know, I'm not, you know. Hey, we need you to do this test. Okay, we're going to just scan you a little bit. Okay. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You like sunscreen. I'm out of here. That's it for me. You know, you can keep the $20. I've had it. On day one of the experiment, before the scanning session, each participant indicated their sunscreen use over the prior week, their intentions to use sunscreen in the next week, and their attitudes towards sunscreen, the researchers wrote. Which is like, how do you, like, that would be a creepy interview.
I hate it.
Creepy interview. Okay, so they don't tell you what you're doing, right? They sit down and they're like, so, Cimmerian, how do you feel about sunscreen? Sunscreen.
Intentions.
Do you use
sunscreen?
Are you a user of sunscreen? Are we talking about suntanning lotion here? No, we're talking about sunscreen. You know, like by the end of it, I'd be like, holy shit. After they saw the message, volunteers answered more questions about their intentions. What are your intentions? And then got a goodie bag that it contained. What did it contain? No shit. What was in the bag? You got it. Among other things, there was some sunscreen towelettes. A week later...
What are sunscreen towelettes? Is that like towelettes infused with sunscreen? I've never heard of these things.
Yeah, they're like a baby wipe, only with the sunscreen on it.
Oh.
Yeah, because, you know, that's a much better use of resources. Anyway, a week later, now this is best. A week later, we did a surprise follow-up to find out whether they'd use the sunscreen. It's like, did you hear something? Oh my God, Flash! Hi! Don't try to move. Don't get up, missus. We're here to do a surprise follow-up on whether or not you'd used sunscreen. Did you use...
They're swabbing their skin.
Yeah, they're all like, you know, they got the SWAT team with the gun and the come-along suppressor in the back of the head. Don't move. We're checking your... sunscreen. Like, no shit. These people are going to need, like...
We're following up on your intentions.
What are your intentions regarding... I don't know. About half the volunteers had correctly predicted whether they would use sunscreen. The research team analyzed and reanalyzed the MRI scans to see if they could find any brain activity that would do better. Activity in one area of brain, particular in the medial prefrontal cortex, provided the best information. From this region of the brain, we can predict about 3/4 of the people whether they will increase their usual sunscreen beyond what they say / will do. It is the one region of the prefrontal cortex that we know is disproportionately larger in humans and other primates. This region is associated with sunscreen. Self-awareness. And seems to be critical for thinking about yourself and thinking about your preferences and values. Dude, like, seriously? Come on. Really? Preferences and values regarding sunscreen? Honest to God? You know? I mean, you should wear some, I guess. Because, you know, we're kind of like, we're bitching the planet. So, you know. But that would be the creepiest thing ever to be involved with. Could you imagine that? That'd be just weird. sunscreen.
That is weird. So, like, fMRI brain scans in the sunscreen aisle now, and little flashing ads in the sunscreen aisle, and read your brain. Is that what they're going to do?
Well, what they're going to do is they're going to find out how to get, you know, the advertising into your head. And they're doing brain scan technology to figure out how to use, like, that should be illegal. Okay, it's, you want to talk about like, a total
effective advertising.
I suppose, but it's
to flash the sunscreen ad and then follow it up and see how many people it worked on, and then they make it better, and then they have the ultimate sunscreen ad.
Uber sunscreen. Anything is possible. Okay, now, of course, we're not going to get away without an Oilmageddon update. Okay?
Uh-huh.
We're not going to get away with that. So I have some suicide news. Thank you, Moog! Because people don't click on my Oilmageddon updates anymore because they're sick of hearing about it, right? It's just like the Iraq War. Yeah, still a war going on. Nobody wants to talk about it. Well, yeah. You know, we got the first one here. On the Gulf Shores, there was a fellow who has shot himself in the head. I'm for some reason, his name has been deleted. I'm not too sure. Gulf Shores.
That's really weird.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. But a guy died Wednesday morning before 7:30 a.m. of a gunshot wound to the head, likely self-inflicted. He'd been quite despondent about the oil crisis, said Stan Vincent, coroner for Baldwin County, which includes the Gulf Shores. Cruz, who's the dude who shot himself, who lived with his family in nearby Foley, reported to work Wednesday morning in his usual Gulf Shores marina at Fort Morgan Road in Gulf Shores. He met up with two deckhands on his boat, the Rookie. One of the deckhands told Vincent Cruz seemed to his usual self, sending them to fetch ice while he pulled the boat around to the gas pumps. The deckhands waft off to get the ice. What they heard sounded like a firecracker. They turned around, didn't see anything out of the ordinary, so they proceeded to go get the ice and wait for Krause to the pumps, but he never showed up. Weird. After waiting for a while, the deckhands returned to the boat, which is moored where they left it. They went aboard and found Cruz in the captain's bridge above the wheelhouse. He'd been shot in the head. A Glock handgun was later recovered from the scene. You know, that's the great thing about Glocks. You'll find more of those on boats because they really work well. You know, they're a reliable, reliable handgun. And investigators do not suspect foul play. Vincent and Krause were in good health, did not suffer from any mental illness, and did not take psychopathic or psychotropic medications of any kind. But he said it's not surprising. The oil spill has weighed heavily on his mind, as it has many local fishermen no longer able to support themselves with the deep-sea sport fishing trips for marlin and the like. All the waters are closed. There is no charter business anymore. So you're going to start seeing more of this. You're going to start seeing people who are despondent and will start killing themselves. And, of course, nobody else is talking.
That's their whole life, and that's what they've been brought up with, and that's all they know how to do. And all of a sudden, their whole business is gone.
Yep.
They have no future. There's going to be, you know, a certain percentage of people that are going to check out.
Yeah, it's not very nice. But that's one of those things. That's why, you know, when he had the gun to his temple, he should have went, wait, I have a gun. And it's a Glock, too. It's a really nice gun. You know, I mean, I'm sure that I can think of, I've got this boat, and I also have a boat. I have a boat and a gun.
Yes, that's true.
You know, you can do a lot with a boat and a gun. You know, really, you can't. I'm just saying, you know, it beats, you know, make somebody else shoot you. Don't shoot yourself. Always a bad plan. Always. Unless,
Leah,
you know,
is calling.
You know, I just think that even if you decide to go ahead with it, I think you should probably at least consider for a moment, wait, I got this really nice Glock here and a boat, you know, and I got two guys ready to fuel, and he had crew. He had crew, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and they were like, drop your shit and go get my fuel. Okay, so off they go.
He could have repurposed his boats for oil sightseeing tours. Come see the oil. And he could take them out and show where the accident happened and show where the BP is cleaning up the spills. And, you can come home with a free jar of oil.
I mean, I don't care what he does. Yep. I mean, he could go and he could smuggle weapons overseas, whatever. But, I mean, it would just be better than shooting yourself in the head. You know, I'm just saying.
Yes,
not
there's
that I agree
lots
with
of other things that are better than
Colombia.
That.
I'm just, you know, that is an option. That is open.
An option, and if you're considering, you might get shot doing that, but you'll live a little bit longer.
That's right, and you're further ahead, aren't you? Right? Because you at least did some more stuff. You know, you probably had a pretty good party. You know, I'm just saying. Why not go rip off a bunch of cocaine from the Colombians, right? And then party with that shit on your boat, since you're going to shoot yourself anyway, right? I mean, you know, expand the horizons here.
There's options.
There's always options, especially if you've got a gun and a boat. But this thing in the Gulf, you know, it's nightmarishly hell on earth. It's so bad we're making jokes about dudes shooting themselves over the whole deal. That's how bad it is. But just when you think it can't get any worse, just when you think Web 2.0 has given you all the crap it possibly can, you know, and you can't possibly get any more bitched over this. And is in pharma fascist news, name redacted. Thank you very much, name redacted. An Israeli team developed software to spot depressed bloggers. Innovators say program could enable mental health workers to identify individuals in need of treatment and recommend they seek help.
Hope they don't analyze this show with a speech-to-text converter or something.
Shut your filthy pot. Israeli researchers have developed a software that claims to identify depressed bloggers by analyzing their writings. The program scours the blogs for words and phrases, descriptions, metaphors that can indicate the writer's psychological state. I'm so bitched. The software's initial test run, which was part of the research study headed by Professor Yair Naumann of Ben Jones University, Department of Education, and I pronounced that. I just don't know how to pronounce these like Yiddish names here, so I'm really sorry. University, I'm just, you know, an idiot. That's not a mispronunciation thing. Anyway, this you know, university's Department of Education combed more than 1,000 blog posts written by American bloggers that were online in 2004. As part of the research, the software was asked to determine what is perceived as 100% as the 100 most depressed bloggers and the 100 least depressed. I would want to know that because I'd be like, "Woo! I was one of the 100 most depressed bloggers of 2004."
I'm in a top 10.
I'm just going to put on some black jeans and go to my very own black parade, you know, right there. Newman told Haaretz that the software diagnosis largely matched those of four clinical psychologists who made their own diagnosis based on the blog post. We found 80% match between the automatic identification mechanism of the software and the human diagnosis given by the psychologists. A psychologist knows how to spot various emotional states through intuition, he said. Intuition, my ass, your readings. We all have a program that does it methodically through the innovative use of web intelligence. Newman said the software could enable mental health workers to identify individuals in need of treatment and recommend that they seek help. So never mind. Never mind that, you know, you should maybe be talking about what you're doing online. Never mind that whole, like, hey, I'm going to go to a forum and post some crazy shit because I want to talk about people. Or never mind any of that. Now you can actually get, you know, people showing up in your house with the white coats and the funny house net so that you wind up getting put away. Like, what are they going to think about the Peter Pan guy? You know, really, are they going to show up with the Peter Pan guy? You know the Peter Pan guy, the guy who looks like Peter Pan?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, tell me that dude does not need a white net. You know, if they showed up, tased his ass, you know, which would be the funniest YouTube video ever, but if they showed up, tased his ass, you know, sorry, Tinkerbell, Hammer, you know, and he, you know, hits the ground, and they drag him off, put a net on, wrap him up in a bag, and shoot him full of all kinds of drugs, would you be surprised? Really?
No. I can see the lobbying by the pharmaceutical companies.
Oh, they won't have a shortage of support for this.
Yeah. To mandate this, if they're saying like 10% of the people are most depressed and it's 80% match rate, I mean, they got a good case on their hands to, you know, pump a whole lot of people full of drugs based on IP addresses. Well, they're going to be rivaling the RIAA in court cases trying to get John Doe's on based on IP addresses.
For the short term, that's awesome. That's a really good assessment for the short term. For, like, short-term pain. But because I've been actually being fairly consistent with my short story writing on the Afternow thing, my brain has been really tuned into, like, the whole progressional prophecy thing. So like,
yes.
what I think is going to happen here, you see, is they're actually going to use
the next level.
The next level is going to be that they're going to start mandating kids in schools to, and they probably already do this, it's not newsworthy, that kids in schools have a blog that they run. Where am I going with this? To build up their keyboarding skills, right? And then from young age, they'll start monitoring with this technology that was developed in Israel. And then we can get the kids on the drugs. And by the time they reach an older age, they're already indoctrinated into the prescription population, you know, and we're good to go. And we don't have to worry about pesky things like them thinking for themselves or, you know.
So take it from a voluntary standpoint of people just enjoying blogging. to a forced school blogging program so they can analyze them.
Think of the children. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll be how they use this.
Yeah,
There
you go.
Yeah, because there's smarter guys than me thinking about this stuff. So, you know, I'm pretty certain that we'll probably see that is just a gimme use that I can see right off the top. Never mind, you know, Facebook by itself, bang, done. Web 2.0, huge applications for this.
There you go. Just do some data mining on Facebook. Wow.
Yeah, you're done. Done. So that, and this is why, Sim, I would airbrush my entire life. suicidemachine.org. Anyway, get off the net. In space base news, now this is a good story. Okay?
Oh, good.
This is a good story. You're going to Google this one, and you're going to be like, wow, what? Moog sent me this one. Okay. Now, apparently, this is true. All right, I'm not making this up. Okay. This isn't from some crazy thing. But this is what's going on.
You're crazy.
Mars moon Phobos has been analyzed as being one-third hollow.
Okay.
According to the European Space Agency reports, which has triggered some wild and utterly fascinating rumors and speculation about what we featured below. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Well, no, hear me out. For a Martian moon...
Hollow and fascinating rumors just starts the ball rolling.
For a Martian moon that is demonstrably one-third hollow, as measured by two totally independent space programs and separated by over 20 years, under any likely astrophysical formation scenario, it cannot exist as just a natural moon.
That's no moon.
Hey, man. Okay, they're saying it was a captured... they're saying it's hollow. I don't know how it's hollow. Okay. This is where you see being skeptical and being a little flexible is a little bit easier. Like, that's bullshit. And I'm like, well, the sensors are coming back that the moon's hollow.
I can measure that the moon's hollow based on, you know, the gravity and rotation of the moon around
the Marsis
in the distance
radar
from
imaging
Mars,
equipment
etc.
inside, according to inside ESA sources, recounted that a Phobos interior is filled with cavernous and geometric rooms, right-angled walls and floors, detectable via semi-regular structure of the returning interior radar records. They were impressed. They were impressed upon reflecting the Marsis signals. Marsis was physically seeing, via this radar, three-dimensional, totally artificial interior world within Phobos, and a reflection void interior geometry, which correlated eerily with earlier low-resolution Phobos interior gravity tracking data. So the thing is that all the science that already exists is... apparently, looks like it backs up that the moon is hollow, and they got these new things back which have geometric shapes inside the moon that is hollow. I say we go there. Only way we're going to know,
if you're going to point a spacecraft somewhere, point it somewhere interesting. Head there.
I think that we should redo that. You know that one where they nuked the moon? Where they, where you know, that's...
yes.
Let's bring that along.
To look for water.
Let's just bring that along, too. Okay? That's coming.
Okay.
For no reason. We'll just bring it. Yeah. Just because, you know, the guys on the other spaceship will appreciate having the dude, you know, driving the big gun around with them, you know? And besides, we got to get into that moon. It's interesting. You know, I think it's an interesting story.
That is something.
In other words...
because, I mean... you look at rock, and rock has, you know, like crystals. Crystals have faces and right angles and things like that. But this is a larger scale kind of
thing. This is a moon.
So it's not like...
stone. Okay.
Yeah,
this
the
is
whole
a
moon.
Which is one-third of the moon, okay, is hollow. In other words, the Marsis radar reflections officially published on the official European Space Agency Phobos website contained explicit scientific data from multiple perspectives which strongly support the idea that this is what radar echoes would look like coming back from inside a huge geometric hollow spaceship. In fact, they were the primary source of the decidedly internal 3D geometric looking radar signature. The concurrence of all three of these independent Mars Express experiments, imaging, internal mass distribution tracking, and internal radar imaging, now agreed that the interior of Phobos is partially hollow, with internal geometric voids inside of it, meaning that Phobos is artificial. So, now you're sitting there going,
some questions.
Well, okay, dude, you've never even seen the planet. You're going on faith that there's even a moon out there. I guarantee you've only seen photos, right? You've never looked through a telescope and looked at the moon on Phobos. So you're using some level of faith here. Okay, you are. All right? And you're just having some problems with the fact that the moon could be a spaceship. Right? Even though...
Funny-looking moon. If you've looked at it, it's a very strange shape. It's very interesting looking.
Now, that's just it. See, now this is where you, in your skeptical sort of mindset, runs into the danger of taking what we call in the role-playing game Call of Cthulhu as sanity damage, because you're like, oh my god, the moon's a spaceship! And I'm like, how do we get it? You know, that's my next... Because I've always been convinced that there have been such things as spaceships and alien craft and everything, but I don't know why this isn't big news.
In terms of spaceships, that's a relatively close spaceship that we can access that has a very predictive pattern of movement, so we can easily get there and command it if we needed to.
Well, let's suppose...
Unless it takes off.
Okay, let's suppose it was a space base, right?
Yes.
And the space base, everyone has died. So it could be a ruin, okay, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Right? It's very probable, because if you did have something living on a planet and they were advanced and they knew the planet was basically going to lose its atmosphere and the outside was going to become toxic, what would you do?
Yeah.
You would go inside the planet. So that's pretty interesting shit. Even if it's just a giant asteroid and it's crystalline and it's all just like, you know, crystal shard geometric ocean-sized rooms that are the size of Texas, that would be pretty cool to get photos of.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty 2010, I think. That'd be pretty, you know, 2001 Space Odyssey kind of thing. that is like...
For 120 years, so it hasn't really moved out of orbit for 120 years, so it's probably been abandoned for at least that long.
Well, let's hope. Because what if they go over there, you know, the spaceship shows up and they knock on the door and a bunch of these other little spaceships come out. And that's why you bring the mass-driving moon water blaster guy along and you just kind of, you know, hit the panic button, nuke the site from orbit, and take off. That would be my, you know, kind of a thing. That would just be my approach. But it's a very interesting story. I'd be good to follow up on that, and I always like to think that maybe, you know, there's something out there. So, and I'm enjoying that. I did receive one email about a UFO experience, but the guy who wrote it to me was actually high at the time, and he told me so. I kind of figured it out by his writing, so I kind of need, like... it was really weird. I think I sent it to you as well. Sammy, it's the one that I said is awesome, and I forwarded it to you.
Today? Really?
Yeah, and he's like, I saw one. There was reptile people, he said. That there was reptilians, which I'm great.
Oh.
Good stuff. Good stuff. I like the reptilians. Keep it coming.
Yep.
I'm going to need you to be
slightly
more coherent, though, if we're going to build some kind of crazy following out of it. Okay, so, you know, keep it coming, make it believable. But, you know, you can't, you know, tell me you're high while you're telling me the story, all right? Credibility...
That's a problem. Drunk, high, things like...
Yeah, your credibility is kind of going downhill at that stage. Okay, so, here's a story that you're going to like in Mudhut Religion News. Thank you very much, Bucky Fuller, for sending this one in. Islamic militants in Somalia, you know, those Somalia, like... Where would you like to be an Islamic militant? Probably in Somalia. Are preventing soccer fans from watching World Cup games, threatening them with public flogging. I think this is the most civilized thing I've ever heard of. The militants say soccer originated among Christians and that it is un-Islamic. Some people said to be watching the games in secret, when the sound turned down, or in areas that are patrolled by government forces, but they face flogging or death if caught, says the BBC. Militants killed two people on Saturday when they descended on a house where the World Cup match was being watched on TV. The BBC wrote, quotes, Sheikh Mohammed Abi Eros, leader of the militant group, is saying, "We are warning all the youth of Somalia not to dare watch these World Cup matches. It is a waste of money and time, and they will not benefit anything or get any experience by watching madmen jumping up and down." The BBC story continues, "Dedicated football fans have few safe places to go if they want to watch Africa's first World Cup, with the Al-Qaeda-inspired group Al-Shabaab also announcing a ban." The story quotes, "One man is saying he's having to watch the games with the sound turned down while he has an eye on the TV and another one on the door. The ban dates back to a law that was introduced by Islamic Courts Union, who took control of much of Somalia for six months in 2006, says the BBC story. A number of activities are considered un-Islamic, including video games and watching sports in public." Whoa! Video games? No. I'm all about flogging people who watch sports in public. I think that's sick and weird and morally wrong. Okay, I really do. I don't care what sport it is. I mean, I don't care about your stupid sport. I don't care about your hockey. I don't care about your tennis. I don't care about your polo. I don't care how many women Tiger Woods is sleeping with. Good for him. Never understood that. I figured if anything would be a big plus for golf, it's like, hey, play golf. You get laid with multiple women. Oh, that would be terrible. But anyway, like, seriously, like, I'm not into watching sports, and I hate it when sports gets, you know, rammed down my throat. But when you're going against video games, you know, that's pretty psychotic.
No good. Yeah.
At all. Now it's worthy to note here with this story that when you're coming to the mud hut religions of the world, you know,
yes,
the various ones that where people tremble in their mud huts because they're afraid that the invisible sky wizard will kick your ass. Okay, results may vary. All right? Meaning that,
he
like,
hates the soccer.
Well, no, the results may vary with these people, because I don't think this is a god thing or an invisible sky wizard thing. I think this is a crazy thing. I think this is this is localized, and this is positive. For example, if you go into Canada, into BC,
you will meet
people who call themselves Christians. Now, we'll take those same people, and we'll go to, like, the deep south Alabama, and we'll find some Christians down there, okay? And you put these two Christians together. Now, these Christians from BC are very different from the Alabama Christians, okay? Like, they both claim to be Christians, right? And there's some radical right-wing kind of crazy BC Christians, too, don't get me wrong. But generally speaking, based upon your location, I'm pretty sure local Muslims are not beating the shit out of their kids because they're watching soccer. Okay, I'm sure that they're probably really nice people, but this is why you don't give religions government powers.
That make the news. Well, Sharia law, thank you.
Yeah, Sharia law, bad idea. Religious law, bad idea. Religious police, bad idea. So, solutions. Now, don't worry about this, because you'll always notice with religious families, there's the trifecta of escape. And the trifecta is three generations, right? It starts because you have the psycho-religious grandparents, then they usually just have strict parents, and then eventually strict parents lead to rebellious youth. So by the time you get to the rebellious youth, because generally the psycho grandparents are like, the invisible sky wizard will kill us, and they buy into that shit. And then you've got the strict parents who are like, invisible sky wizard, you know, and they kind of don't really buy it, but they, you know, they pray to the invisible sky wizard when the grandparents are around, because if they don't, the grandparents will burn them alive. So you have to kind of appease the grandparents, because it's kind of brutal. And the rebellious youth are like, fuck the invisible sky wizard. I don't care. I got an Xbox. You know, that's kind of where we're at. So what we need to do, and there's a reason why these religious zealots don't want the kids playing video games, because they're going to get educated. They're going to learn how to read.
Yes.
They're going to start communicating with other kids. You know, don't blow each other up in person. Do it online. Okay, honestly, let's get some Modern Warfare 2 on the go between Palestine and Israel. Let's just get that on the go, and, you know, you guys...
Education and communication is the enemy of religion.
Well,
Yeah.
They're the people who, you know, started the whole copyright movement when people started making their own books at the Gutenberg Press.
Yeah.
So that people could actually analyze the Bible for themselves and see what it says rather than just listening to the preacher.
Right. So, I mean, and plus they translated out Latin, which was a big no-no.
Yes.
Right? Once they translated it out of Latin, because that's a problem you see with a lot of the whole Islamic thing, is that you got all these Bibles floating around and nobody can read, right? Especially in these third world nations. So you got
that's
these imams and stuff who are like, oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the Torah says right here that, you know, you should go kill these people. Right here. The squiggly bit right here. Yeah, that's go kill people. And the dudes are like, okay, you know, whatever. And off they go. And they do this crazy shit.
Yeah. And I think you get chastised if you don't read actual original languages. There's no translations that are worthy of the original. Like, you have to learn the language, too. And it's like hardly anybody knows it, right?
Yeah. Not so incredibly fantastic. Now, of course, not that we can, you know, stand back and go, oh, those backward third world nation mud hut people, because we got our very own police state news. Thank you very much from Sim. Which police state? I mean, that just is that's such an Alex Jones word now. It's fun to say police state. Yeah. Chalk photography. You sent me this one. Chalk photography up as the latest freedom to become endangered in the United States. Wiretapping or eavesdropping laws conveniently provide police justification for arresting those who videotape or snap pictures of them acting in public locations, as they forbid citizens from obstructing law enforcement. Now, the most extreme example of photography crackdown has occurred. A man named Francisco Olvera was having a house party, and when confronted by a local cop, the cop entered his house. Olvera photographed the cop and was promptly arrested. Okay, so he's in the guy's house. He photographs the cop in his own house. Olvera says the trouble started when Alderet responded to a complaint of loud music coming from his home. In front of the home, Alderet asked Olvera to show identification as Olvera walked into his house to get it. Alderet followed him in. Right, so the cop follows the dude into the house. Olvera did not believe that Alderet had the authority to enter Olvera's residence and therefore took a picture of Alderet using his cell phone. The complaint states, Olvera claims that Odette saw a can of beer on the kitchen counter next to Olvera's wallet and immediately handcuffed him. Okay.
What state is this in? Is this a dry state?
I have no idea. Olvera was charged with illegal photography, public intoxication, and loud music. Oh, I see, because he was drunk outside. Since the arrest, he's been acquitted on of all charges, now seeking punitive damage for the city of the violation of his rights. So this is what's going on. So you photograph a cop, get arrested. You know,
The photographing thing comes into where it's the states that you need two-party consent to wiretapping laws. And what the police are doing is using the word of the law rather than the intent of the law to prosecute people who videotape them or to, I guess, photograph them. That they're pushing it because that's totally not right. But they're using it to the videotaping with audio. So any videotape with audio of police in a two-party consent state falls under wiretapping law, which is not at all what the law was intended for. This is before anybody even had video cameras that this law was put into place. So they're just throwing the book at people for anything they want, just because they don't want to be put on video camera doing what they do. All the bad cops doing bad things.
Right, which, unfortunately, they're the ones, just like the psycho-Christians and the crazy Islamics, there's bad cops too, and they're a cult, and they need to be stopped.
Yeah.
You know, they really do. You know, they go to bad cop meetings, and they all sit around with their bad cop stuff. It's terrible. It is a horrible epidemic which is sweeping our nation, this whole bad cop thing. But it is a reality, and honestly, if you can't videotape these people in your own house, what the hell? I mean, what if he'd had, like, a webcam or
something? Exactly.
You know, what if, like,
go to jail.
First
frame he appears on, go to jail.
That's right, you know, instant criminal. You know, I don't know. However, I got some interesting cyberpunk kit here. Now, this is a piece of software, and I didn't know where else to put this, so I actually threw this into cyberpunk kit. This is one of those kind of things that's right out of a Blade Runner software pack. Like, when you'd be, like, making your cyberpunk character up, you'd buy packages and upgrades for your brain, essentially, for your character. So this is for this thing called Face Training. Thank you very much, Null Moniker, for sending me this. When people deliberately try to conceal their emotions or unconsciously repress their emotions, a very brief 1/15th to 1/25th of a second facial expression often occurs. Invisible to nearly everyone who has not been trained with MET micro expression training tool, training with the MET enables you to spot lies, put people at ease, and be like others, more successful in sales. That's what it's about. Research with schizophrenics has shown that those who have used MET are better able to recognize how others are feeling. Despite efforts to conceal any sign of emotion that is felt, leakage may occur, and in a very small and hard-to-recognize fragments of expression. These tiny changes can occur when an emotion is just beginning, often before a person knows they're about to act emotionally. This is such a tetragrammaton cleric thing.
Oh, my God.
This is totally equilibrium set, which is great. I mean, it even fits. Like, if they're tetragrammaton clerics of set. Can train people to see these important signals. Sense offender! Because people differ in their visual acuity, not everyone can reach the same level of proficiency. Microexpressions tell you that an emotion is concealed, but they do not tell you how or why it is concealed. They may be the result of a conscious or deliberate choice in which the person knows how he/she is feeling, but does not want anyone else to know. See, this software would be totally useless with me. Totally useless to me, because I generally don't hide how I'm feeling. The guy'd be like, my facial express training tells me you hate me. No, I'm choking you to death. That's what's going on here. And yes, your elaborate training
is not-
has, you know, paid off. You know, money well spent. I think that this thing is actually a bit of a scam. You know what I mean? But there's stuff like this that, you know, there must be some proficiency to this.
This stuff is true. Like this does occur. Like people have micro expressions. Like if you watch people's faces very carefully, they'll make a little twinge, or you know they'll go off in their expression a little bit. And if the right person knows how to read it, then yeah, they have a little bit of insight.
Yeah. So it's.
But you combine that with a webcam pointed at everyone all the time, you could get the. Computer software, I guess, to give you a little jolt every time somebody makes a micro expression, and you can, you don't even have to pay attention to the person.
Well, remember the one that gave you a shock if you stopped smiling? Remember that one? There was a device they made. It was a hat, and it connected to your face, and it was. You just had a drink of water, didn't you? You just had a drink of water, didn't you? Tell the
truth.
Yeah, I could tell. I could tell because I heard the reverberation.
Was it my micro expression?
Yes. In Second Life. That's how keen I am. Because I want water and I can't have any. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, no, I had to know because I heard that little and it makes a specific sound when you do that in a mug. So. Pay attention, all you kids at home. That's free face training right there that you got. Now, today's daily hack.
Right.
Today's daily hack is actually really sexy. I found this one screwing around on Hackaday, and I'm like, wow, that's really cool. This is what I've called the USB demon. I don't know what he's called it, but he's this dude who's showed you how to make this thing, and it's pretty neat. What if you could make something that was a programmable USB device? Okay? It's a programmable keystroke dongle that can be set up to be run by a timer. The pen tester programs of the dongle wait for a certain amount of time after install before doing its thing. So you can... A time when a pen tester suspects that a user with extra privileges will be logged on into a target workstation. If timed right, all sorts of privilege escalation can happen. There are more options than just a timer, however. If the dongle has a heat sensor or a photoresistor built on it, it could be programmed to dump its keystroke mouse payload when the heater kicks on or the lights come on in an office. Think of the possibilities. Very cool thing. Oh, and you put that in there. Thank you very much, Simi. That's why I pay you the big
bucks. You're welcome.
I swear to God. You know, today's Recomedia is because I just picked up a whole bunch of copies of Savage Sword of Conan. You cannot go wrong. There's a very strong Cthulian influence to Savage Sword of Conan. Like, they even use some of the same H.P. Lovecraft city names and stuff. So good. So good, so good. So, you know, make sure you check some of that out because it's definitely outstanding. Simi, have you got any recent updates? I normally have a section in here for you, but I didn't put one in here today because I'm a selfish prick. What's going on with Rant? Anything that people need to know about?
Well, we're working on the Foley for the movie Whore, which is good. We just went out Mike and I, the other director, went out and got some car sounds for the movie, because that's been put on in the back burner while we worked on the After Now movie for a bit there. But now that's been all sent out to all the film festivals, I can get back to the horror short film thing.
Right.
And so we're working on the sound effects for it. So that's pretty interesting.
That's
got to
be fun. I mean, you got to think that would be fun. Like, you hear, see the old movie stuff. It's got to be hard, though, but still kind of would be fun.
It is, to get the right sounds, and especially outside where it's a dynamic environment. We're trying to get sounds, and we're driving around, and there's people walking and talking, and crows going nuts in the background where we don't want crows going nuts. But, yeah, it's not bad. I'd rather do it inside in a controlled environment, but, yeah, it's pretty fun. I don't mind getting back in the studio and matching it up and trying to align it so the car sounds look like it's supposed to on the movie. So that's kind of neat.
Well, if I die and go to hell, I'm really sure that that's what they'll be making me do there. So, you know, you have fun with that.
Fully,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like it'd be fun for the first, like, 12 micro-expressions, yeah. And then I'd be, you know, begging for death. But hey, that's your thing.
Yeah. Not for you.
Not for you.
It's just something that I enjoy.
And that's why you're a valued member of my team. Absolutely.
That's right.
That's right. That in job security.
And the... starting to plan the 12th anniversary of Rant. That's coming up in about 6 months, and planning to show like the After Now and Horror double feature at the 12th anniversary in the same theater.
Oh wow, that'll be fun!
I thought that would be a fun thing, so people can go look at it on the big screen. It would be the premiere of Horror, really.
Really? Hey, that's a really good thing. We could totally sell that. We could totally sell that.
I think so. I think people would like that.
I had a thought for a commercial, like a trailer.
Okay.
You know, for horror, yep. Where it would be an audio track, and you have like it's the sound of old people talking about these creatures, like these horrors that they knew of. So they're like, we would always see her on the roadway, you know, kind of a thing. So you could totally like spin that out. I mean, it'd be pretty great to get like some old creepy, because there's something about like old people's voices. And I've been kind of thinking about that, especially if you could find like...
the wisdom of them. They've seen it all.
I've
they
seen,
know. What
you know, because the whole film is just so incredibly dirty. I mean, the film is called... whore. Okay, it's just a fun word to say. It's not even really a swear word. But, you know, do you know how hard it was for us to get women who wanted to participate in a film called Whore?
Yes.
That was hard. That was difficult. I mean, I didn't have that problem, but, you know, I remember that girl, we suggested it to her, and she's like, I'm not appearing in any film called Whore. And I'm like, yeah, it's not that kind of movie. Ooh.
It's a working title. We'll change it probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Not
it's
so
called
good.
Happy Fun Movie. Yeah, it's
called.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called. And people ask you that. What are you working on now, Simi? Oh, well, it's a movie. You know, you're at a family gathering. Shh. Grandma wants to know, what are you working on?
That is difficult. That was difficult.
Yeah, yeah. I'll bet. It's something that...
horror movie. We don't have a title yet. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You're lying is what you did. You lied. You lied like a cheap rug.
No, just omitted the truth, yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit. A lie of omission, still a lie. That's all we got for you today. But don't worry, we'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to the show, screw you, hippie. You can... we don't love you anymore. All right, well, if you want to gain our love, you can distribute the show, which is actually a better thing to do, because there's a lot of people out there that need to know about stuff like this, and let them know that, hey, there's alternative media. It may not be as bright and flashy, but just much like other food, if you stop eating sugar, flour, and salt, everything tastes a lot better. So after you try alternative media for a while, you generally get healthier, you're not so bloated, you don't have all the pus in your brain, you function more cleanly and freely.
Drain the pus.
Yes, yeah. Drain the pus, rantmedia.ca. But if you can donate, please do so by clicking on the Donate tab at the Dark Atlas website. Or you can send a cleverly... You changed that too, didn't you? No, you didn't. It's always been there. Oh my God, it's like Dark City over here and you're like tuning reality. Okay, never mind.
It's always been that way.
How did... Shell Beach, what? Rant Media Studios, Box 95089, 37 East Broadway, Vancouver, BC, Canada, V5T1W0. You can find us there. And, of course, I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, newsreal, @rantradio.com. Be sure to sign up for the Rant newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, make sure you check out some Psytrance. Gonna fade out now with some music from my own personal collection, of which I have no idea, but it will be cool. Sammy, did you have anything else?
Nope.
That's it?
I'm good.
You're all fine.
Yeah.
So well, in keeping up with...
Actually, we found a very cool... Somebody in the forums found a very cool place for our 2012 getaway kind of thing. It houses 60 people. This is a end-of-the-world Armageddon 2012 kind of getaway thing. It's very interesting.
What is it?
It's in Washington. It's in the middle of the woods. It's this huge cabin that says it houses 60 people. And it's got an outhouse and everything. It's very, very cool.
I'm having like Poltergeist 2 flashbacks, you know, where they all go out of the house. They're like, no, we're gonna die in there, which has the great, great old guy in that. If you ever see Poltergeist 2, it's one of the best old
guys. I haven't seen the second one, no.
Oh, it's so good. Poltergeist 2. Oh, we didn't do the movie review. There we go. Real quick. Movie review.
Okay.
Poltergeist 2. Definitely. Oh, yeah. He's got the creepiest
I haven't seen that. How can I?
Oh, yeah.
I can't review it.
Well, I'm reviewing it. Your opinion is irrelevant. I'm just saying that you want to go and watch Poltergeist 2 because that's what I want to look like when I'm old. I want to look like the old priest in Poltergeist 2. I'm here to tell you, creepiest looking dude ever. I don't know where they found this guy, but he is terrifyingly creepy. Like, oh my god, he just walks around in the daytime.
Is it that tall guy you said, that tall guy who stands in the middle of the road? I remember you talking about this.
I watched it and just about, oh my god, he just creeps me out. Very, very good. Very good movie. I watched it years ago, though, so maybe if you watch it now, because I've showed people, you know, films that I thought were scary, like The Changeling with George C. Scott, and they're like, that's stupid. You know, and conversely, you know, I showed you RoboCop, and you're like, this is dumb. This is a dumb movie. I hate RoboCop. It's a stupid movie. And I'm like, yeah, that's why there's all these puppets and toys and massive media conglomerate around RoboCop and why it's an icon and milestone in cyberpunk culture. Yeah, definitely. It's a stupid movie. But yeah. No. You didn't like RoboCop, which is fine. You're allowed not to like RoboCop. I don't think any less of you, you know.
Maybe if I had a time machine, I could go back and erase my memory of all the CG and advancements. Even the story just didn't hold up either, so yeah, I'm sorry.
Or you could just get some taste, you know. I'm just so until next time, that's what server said. End of line.
And it goes a little something like this.
check this out. Check this out.